Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 16, 10 to 14, and it's on page 1625 of your Pew Bible. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus.
Thank you. Let's see, just a couple of things before we get started. Today, I've been looking forward to for a long time. Today, we're going to do an earthquake drill sometime before the end of the service. I was told that if my sermon is too long, that the kill switch is going to go on and the earthquake drill will be on to it. So just remember the instructions, what we want you to do. This is just a practice. We want you not to go to the center aisles, but we want you to go to the wings of the church and go out the four side doors, not the middle door. Now, we've already figured out a lesson learned about this. We're going to have everybody assemble over in the courtyard, actually in the fellowship hall where we normally meet. But in a real earthquake, those buildings over there will be the first to go down. And so in the future, we'll probably have everybody try to go out into the street. And we'll have it cordoned off so that we can do that safely. But sometime during the rest of the service, the earthquake drill will happen. And we want the fast movers. We want you to get out, okay? But we want everybody to get out. And those of you that are slow movers, you know, go at your own speed. But don't block the way of the fast movers. You know who you are. Also, I want to share this with you. Over at the towers, there's a bunch of plates like this that are advertising the breakfast that we're going to be having starting next Sunday morning from 8 to 9:30, especially for the people who are in the towers, inviting them here to take care of them. And last week, we handed out some cards asking anybody to, if you're interested, to fill it out or tell us your name. And I was expecting a half a dozen people to sign up. And what happened was that 33 of you signed up. That's incredible. Yeah. So we will get in. We don't need all 33 next week. We'd have to make too many eggs for that. So we will contact, 10 of you or so, and then on a rotating basis for the next 4 weeks, we'll have you filter through and help out. Let's see, there's one more thing also. Oh, yes. We lost a dear friend. Some of you know Ray Helfer. Longtime member, elder of the church, got to Alpha, started in the church. He passed away this week. So, we have Thanksgiving coming up this week, don't we? Do you all have plans? Judy, you're invited to come to the home with us. Not really. But it sounded good, didn't it? We have a lot to be thankful for. We really do. It's even the rain today. Thank you, Lord. We need it and a lot more of it. We live in a country where we are ruled by a constitution, by law. We have a justice system that is upright. We have law enforcement that takes care of us. That's not to say bad things don't happen. This last week, Harold, one of the our night watchmen, was assaulted here on the campus, and with an injury that was sufficient to take him to the hospital. And you know, we have a downtown church, and 90 plus percent of the homeless people we want to take care of. They're grateful for our help, truly. But some of them aren't, and some of them have evil intent. And so we want to be generous. We want to have open hearts. We want to provide for the needs of people. We also need to be heads up, need to be cautious, and to be alert. Okay, today the Finance Committee has asked me to talk about money, and I want to have some brief comments about it. And this is, I've been looking forward to this message for a long time. It's one of the very few messages that I repeat. And you might want to take notes about this, because if this doesn't apply to you, it may apply to your grandchildren. And I'm going to be talking about how to make money according to the Bible. But I need some help. I need a $20 bill. Does somebody? I'm going to use it as. You got one, Ed? Okay. Your wife? Okay, here we go. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. This $20 bill is a metaphor. It's a symbol of career, wealth, savings, ambition, all that sort of stuff. So it's a metaphor. It's not just this $20. I'm going to ask you three questions. They're straightforward. They're not tricky questions, okay? Can this give you direction in your life? The answer is yes. Sure it can. If you got a job offering you $30,000 a year and another one $50,000 a year, you go for the $50,000, don't you? Okay. It does offer direction. Can this, as a metaphor, affect your value system? Sure it can. Can this affect your affections? Let me put it this way. Let me rephrase it. If you had an abundance of this, would this give you the power to do some things that you might not otherwise be able to do? Of course. Okay. Those are all characteristics of a deity. Offers purpose in life, direction in life. Affects your values, and it affects your ability, your own personal power to affect things in your life. And Jesus had a very clear understanding that money is a deity, or it can take on the role of a deity. We can bow down to this to the altar of this $20 bill just as easily as we can bow down to the throne that we have here. And so Jesus wants to have some clear teaching about money. Thank you. You want to? Oh, that's right. Sorry. I get confused. Money is one of those things that we often think of as being tainted with evil. We think of it as something that is frowned upon in the scriptures. But Actually, the scriptures are really quite clear, and Jesus is very specific that money is a necessary thing. It is a way of coming together and using money as a way of exchanging labor and services and goods with other people. And we can agree upon the certain value of a certain object or goods and use dollar bills in that behalf. So often, though, people get misplaced and they begin to think that in the absence of a worthy goal in life, that the accumulation of money is to be the goal in life. In the scriptures, did you know that among the parables of Jesus, that 80% of them are commercial in nature? They do have, the parables do have two lines of teaching, but 80% of them are commercial in nature, financial. And one time, several years ago, I had a class of fellas that were sort of on the fringes of the church, and I decided to have a class on the parables, and I would only teach the earthly side of it. And there was a lot of information there that was really worthwhile. Did you also know that Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven or hell combined? And that there are a number of people in the Bible who were incredibly wealthy. Abraham, for example. Moses, well, I guess he owned everything in the nation. But David, Solomon, these were people that were incredibly awesomely wealthy for their time. Even in the New Testament, we see that there had to be some wealthy people in the church because there are teachings in Timothy where Paul is instructing Timothy, tell the rich that they need to be generous to the poor. And so there were rich people in the church. I want to share with you three ways, specific ways, that the Bible says you can make money, and you might want to write these down. They are specialties, and they all come from the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 23, it has this comment. It says, a poor person's field may produce abundant food. A poor person's field may produce abundant food. Proverbs 13:23. And what this is going to be talking about is that if you have a specialized resource, and there are going to be three specialized things that we're going to look at. If you have a specialized resource, then in all likelihood, you're going to be able to provide wealth for your family and yourself and have a future. A specialized resource is something unique, something that not everybody has, but everybody needs. For example, yesterday I got in my car and I turned on the key and the car was dead. And the reason was because I left the overhead light on when I was getting out the night before and it wore down the battery. And so I had to call USAA and their roadside service, and the guy came out, very nice fellow, and he took care, he charged up my battery and it worked fine. The name of his company I thought was kind of cute. His name is Pop, that I assume as in Papa or something like that, but the logo on the side of his car is Papa Lock, and he's a locksmith. And so I was talking with him, and he said, I am so, so busy, especially with older people. And I thought, me? And so, but he had a specialized resource. Now, I have jumper cables in my car, but none of the older people around would pull their car up alongside mine, and so I had to call this guy. And he had a specialized resource, and he was paid. It was free to me, but my insurance company had to pay him $70 to come out and do that simple thing. I was also noticing someone else that had a specialized resource. In the place where we live, they have an occasional outbreak of bugs, bed bugs. And so they bring in a sniffer dog, and they have them run up and down the hall and go into certain apartments. Well, recently they went into our place, and the dog sniffed around for these little critter guys, and went to three or four different apartments next to us looking for these bed bugs, basically. And I asked the guy, I said, so how often do you do this? And he says, I can't talk. I'm way too busy. So I guess they're bed bugs are doing well these days, I guess. But what fascinated me was that this guy had a specialized resource, a dog that could sniff and identify where bed bugs were being resident, and that they would then have to go ahead and treat them. If you have a specialized resource, I don't know what it could be. If you have a special tool, special license, it says you're a farm. If you have a way of producing money, you want to pass it on to your kids, if at all possible, or to your grandchildren. Give them the specialized resource that you have. A second thing that Proverbs says in chapter 22, verse 29, it says that if you have a specialized skill, listen to the verse. Do you see a person skilled at work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before obscure people. And so a person with a specialized skill is somebody who has the ability, the exceptional ability, to bring about a gift that everybody needs, nobody has, except you've gone through the process of taking the time to discipline yourself to learn the skill. I was with a surgeon a while ago who's on my federal disaster team, and he was squeezing a tennis ball and really crushing the tennis ball, which is hard to do. And I asked him what he was doing, and he says, well, I just practice this because my hands are where I do my work, and I deal with nerve endings, and I have to separate just the smallest pieces of fiber inside of a person's brain or whatever. And my hands have to be in the very best shape they can possibly be. And so he was disciplining himself so that he could practice his skill. Now, learning a skill is something that is not fun. I was reading a book actually last night, and it was saying that a person who is sort of talented, sort of gifted in something, that it takes them about 10,000 hours to become at the top of their game. And by doing that, though, they do get a specialized skill, especially if it's something that people want. You remember the Beatles? Of course you do. Did you know that they played over 1,200 times in that little pub in England before they came to America? 1,200 times they were developing their skill. So, do you have a skill? I hope so. Pass that on to your children, if at all possible. One last one, and that is to earn money, you need to provide specialized knowledge. Take a look at what it says in Proverbs 24, verse 5. It says, a wise person has great power, and one with knowledge increases strength. If you have some knowledge, like a lawyer has knowledge, like a doctor has knowledge, like a computer programmer has knowledge. An accountant has knowledge. If you have some specialized knowledge in some of these specialized fields, you're going to be able to provide for yourselves. Now, let me speak candidly about people who do not have a specialized resource, a specialized skill, or specialized knowledge. They become common laborers. And it's hard, if you don't have a specialty, to provide for yourself handsomely. And so we want to encourage, especially our children and our grandchildren, to go through the disciplines of picking up some of these specialties. Judy and I were visiting our grandchildren yesterday. Their parents happened to be there. You know what I mean. We wanted to see and make sure our grandkids are being taken care of, and they are. But we have an 11-year-old grandson who has already demonstrated to me some aptitude and some skills of being able to program things. But he's resisting learning some of the languages that are familiar with programmers. And I took him into the kitchen just before we left, and I got him real close to me. And we have this little routine that just before I leave, I take him off to the side, and I try to speak wisdom into his life. I'm his grandfather, and he listens to me. And I said, "Sam, seems to me that the hand of God is on you." "Really?" "Yes. I believe that God has given you a gift, an ability, something really special. When you're in front of a screen, you're playing this game called, Minecraft or something.